again, I could have been on the last one. The result is much ago. I think we need to go straight to the issues. The department is led by the
when we have this reporting on government programs, action, and the colleagues appraise on the executive of our progress which we will be making in the workplace. And the key message we must prepare, how do we as officials and as also as commissioners come to a situation where we can articulate what are the potential bottlenecks, what are the key issues we need to look out for so that we address the type of situation that we have pertaining to the industry. But there was also a call for us to reflect on regional cooperation and the implication for leveraging when in Africa. Without anything, the Honorable Commissioner's work, if I may check if you can get to you, we are in your hands. Thank you very much.
Document, although it does have gaps in the instances, but
every look at that as a commission. We actually came up with the material that are seen at critical points of security. And this is coming out of that diagnostic report. And it addresses the issue of water demand and supply situation, impact of climate change, infrastructure asset management and functionality, infrastructure planning and development, institutional and regulatory framework, and human and institutional capacity. Some of these are issues that we are quite clear of, and most cases when we take, this is where most of the challenges are coming from. And we also come to integrate, you know, where there are three factors that determine the security are the hydrological environment, socio-economic environment, and the food environment. So it also doesn't help for us to just look at a short-term view of the environment. And when we were addressed by the executive, part of what was said was, whatever we come in as a structure, it should not be just short-term focus in terms of the current challenges, but we should also look at the bigger picture in terms of saying, how is the use in the next 10 years, the next 20 years, or the next 30 years, in terms of what our water plan is. And I think from our side, we're looking at it to say, we have to be putting together a framework, rather than just looking at saying, this is the plan, and we have to install in this way, because as a commission, you still have the Department of Water and Sanitation that has to put certain things into perspective. And as the presentation unfolds, you'll actually see that one of the challenges that we have in this place is the fact that we don't even have one minister that is fully responsible for the water chain. And that creates a lot of other challenges, because you have the minister looking at water resources up to a particular point in terms of funds. But from there, and especially where the news delivery happens, it is in a different space. And these are some of the things that need to be looked at from a point of view of how do you have a plan that encompasses all and that can actually be done in a particular way. And some of the things, because this has been work in progress from a point of view, is the issue of if the department is talking about regulations, how far does that go from a point of view of somebody overseeing the work that needs to be done? Is it well and good for us to be talking about norms and standards for the sector, or we should be talking about licensing, so that the minister can have oversight, and even this parliament can have oversight in terms of saying these are the minimum requirements for us to ensure that our water space is covered. And that's the only way that we'll be able to turn the situation around. And the next page, which is like this, we're just trying to give a perspective of where we are, I guess the South Africa versus the world. Yeah? The idea behind this global overview is just to show the amount of resources that we have and the percentage of population and wealth. You can see Africa as a whole, and I think we are one of those areas that are very disadvantaged by the way we're saying 80% of whatever water that we have actually ends up through evaporation. We can't produce it. We get it and then evaporation. Again, it's about the kind of water that we have. And I think I will touch on this thing later where we are saying, according to figures that we have from the department, and it's still something that we need to get back to, where we are saying, amongst other things, let's start at the broad level, where we're saying, how much water do we have in the country, and how much of it can we still hang on to? And if we are saying most of the water is lost through evaporation, and the studies done by the department is say, around 65%, and this figure is still in question, I think it might be more, is for irrigation. Part of some of the questions that we need to be asking is, are we using even the right technology for irrigation in our country? Because we're still using pivot, which means you have water that is used, I think in Africa, say, where you have those irrigation things. But if we are currently where we're using a lot of water to evaporation, can't we also be looking at measures of doing it like this? There's a slide that puts to that. From point of view of say, we only have 35% of the water we can recapture and reuse, because once you use water for irrigation and afforestation, it's only used once, you can't get it back. And our focus has always been on the other 35% where you say you can reclaim the water, you improve sanitation and get most of it back and use it. And that's where most of us focus on, but the bulk of the water from a point of view of focus is not on the other side. And we think this is one area that needs to be looked at slightly different from what we've been doing. And we went over to say in the next page, which is page 7, looking at regional overseas. In this picture, I think it tells everything. The Tibetan mainland mean annual rainfall distribution reflecting variation with driest part being southernmost part of Tibet, which is up. And what we say, should we now say the amount of water that we have in the country is not enough? How do we fare against everybody else? And the potential for us to say we can source water elsewhere, where that is. And if one looks at this picture, you can actually see we are the ones that don't have a lot of water, but part of what we have to look at would now be as part of the plan. How do we now get water from some of the other areas that have a lot of water more than we do? And I think some of the discussions and even plans in the DSP should be looking at that. And I think this picture puts this message one of the things. You can actually see South Africa does not have a lot of water, but we do have some of our neighboring countries having a lot more water than we do. And we know this can be done too, because as well at this stage, some of the areas or provinces in the country are actually getting water from other countries. But we are saying perhaps that's not enough. We need to look at expanding that if one of the services is not in the same. The next page deals talking about political boundaries with a major river basin. We have around 15 river basins shared by at least two countries each on this, and 20% rural population relies on groundwater supplies. Of the 280 million people, 47 have no access to drinking water, 60% have access to adequate sanitation services. Of the 60 million hectares of irrigable land, hectares, only 7% currently irrigated. And there's a reason why we're talking or starting with a regional overview, because as we look at this thing, for us, the whole issue of water is not only about us, but it's important to have a regional view of it in terms of the, and also as a commission, because we always say, for you to have a plan, you need to know who you're playing for. And amongst other things, there's still the challenge in most cases where there's still a lot of influx into the country as well, because some of these resources are not there. But as we plan to talk about water, perhaps it's not looking only at people that are coming into the country, but also to say the resources, where do they sit and how do we get them? So these kind of figures become quite important as one looks at the specialty where we are. Because even for food security purposes, we actually need to have enough water for us to be able to do that. And in most cases, even for economic development, which is part of what the NP is all about. It's all about understanding your space, but what is it that is influencing in the bigger scheme of things? The next page is closer to home now, getting into the South African water overview. The national rainfall and evaporation. We have an uneven spatial distribution and regionality of rainfall. 43% of rainfall on 30% of the land. Unreliable and fluctuating spring flows. Total natural runoff averages 50 million cubic meters per annum. Major urban industrial development areas not located in areas where are necessitating large scale infrastructure. Of the 50 billion cubic meters of water available, only 14 billion cubic meters, which is 28%, is available for use through dams, basin transfer, other resource development throughout the country. This, for me, is one of the more important slides in terms of balancing. Because if one looks at this thing, says, and I think it's still aligned to that global overview where we're saying we're doing a lot of water to evaporation. There are other countries where they haven't, but I think in terms of their approaches, they try to capture as much of the water as it comes. But here, we're losing too much water as it is in the particular instance. And if one looks at this graph on the right-hand side, so you actually realize that even for food security, if you look at provinces like the Philippines and all that, where you have traditionally an agricultural base for what you do in Northwest and whatever, there's not a lot of rainfall that is happening over there. Now, the issue becomes in the long run, are we going to get artificially recharging those areas, or are we saying what is the good for us, shifting towards the more eastern side of the country in terms of where a lot of rainfall is, which is a bit of Mpumalanga and also the KZN, although now we say KZN is an undersouth in this particular region time, but these are official figures in terms of what the measures are here in this particular region time. Hence, we have to do a lot of very expensive transfers, whether at eastern level from a higher level or even at river level and looking at them. is something that we consciously have to make a decision on from a point of view of saying we need to transport water from one end of the country to the other. I don't know how I would actually address that, but that would be more than adequate in terms of our funding. But we also need to understand that runoffs are not necessarily the only thing, because if you also look at the ocean economy, it's still important for us to, especially if you look at the water system, so you're talking about ecosystem. Part of the water still has to flow into the sea, because then it produces nutrients that are needed in terms of our country. But it should not be at the point where, to the point that you are losing most of that wood. And we are saying part of this is the ecosystem population. And I think the kind of technologies that are still being used in the country are still looking at things from an abundance point of view. Because we are using outdated or maybe outdated technologies, but the technology that we are using is not aligned to what our requirements are. So what we say is we say 50 cubic meters of water. And if you think about the decision, we are going by with about 14. And I think the last time we had a discussion with the department, we were asking to get demand and supply. And we were saying from where we are, we just got a 2 billion of what our demand is. So what that means is, and it's growing, in the short space of time, unless something is done, you won't have enough water to be able to get the demand. And what we're saying is, you need to categorize the whole issue of water by looking at it. In most cases, the worry is whether people have drinking water. But once you've done that, if you are looking at development, you also need to understand once you have economic activity, you are going to need more water, which means you need to be looking at increasing that number. But it's also about the number that you have in terms of amount of water. How do you deal with it? How do you deal with it? This is where we are defining our approach. These are areas where we have not decided to spend much time looking at that. We've decided to start at that level. Yes, some of the answers will come as we start for the relationship. And this is the next page on page 10. We have the ability. National Utilizable Groundwater Exploitation Potential. And we say estimate usable water in cubic meters per annum. 12 billion surface water, and we're saying about 11 billion of that is allocated. 10 billion groundwater, 7.5 billion under drought conditions, only 2 or 2 3 billion being utilized at the stage. 2 billion usable potentials, which is now potential is the national rate from the center where we're talking about using water and then recycling. So we call it potential. But what we're saying is, there's still room for improvement if one looks at this year from a point of view of how do we handle the water that we have at the state. It is estimated that over 60% of small towns rely on groundwater. And I think this is a really important point, this one at areas that are currently under drought. Because if small towns are using groundwater at the state, the tendency has always been when it's not raining, people say go and drink more boreholes. But sometimes we don't even take account of the fact that there are already areas that are dependent on groundwater. So if you start drilling more boreholes without getting a proper plan in terms of how this affects the underground tunnels of water, you might actually affect that particular ecosystem from the point of view of certain people that already are relying on groundwater. But we're saying you need a better plan from the point of view of how this works. And I know the department would now be struggling as well, because every other day, whether we are a farmer or even people that have the kind of money that they need, we drill boreholes and the department is not just practicing, they need very difficult to monitor that as well. But in most cases now, everybody just knows that there is a borehole, but we don't have a bigger picture of understanding how sensitive that is. And I think a good example would be the Northwest as well. If one looks at areas, just as an example, like Mabati, they depend on Molopo Eye, where part of that particular town that's getting in Barambu is actually coming from a source called Molopo Eye. Yes, there is water that they use where it's just normal water, but primarily we also depend on them. Now, if again, again, this is an agricultural area, if everybody starts bringing more goods around that particular area, it's going to affect the quality and quantity of the water that's available for the consumption. And the relationship that we need to understand and also look at management. I'm just making an example just to prove that point. And I think this is more value that we actually look at. But hopefully the department is starting to look at it. But we're saying at a higher level, these are some of the things that we should look at. The next page on 11 is water allocation. This was listed from the department. Like I said, there is a unique out in terms of how fresh this information is, because the view is some of the information here, the situation is actually less than it is. When we are saying 3% of the water available is allocated for irrigation, 3% for afforestation. Just between the two, it makes about 5%, which leaves only 35% for urban and rural use, mining, industrial use, and power generation. The rest of the, within the 35%, if one splits the two, this is where you actually say the 35% is water that can be reused, because you can use it, you can recapture it, and then you can get recycling after being used. The 65% in most cases is what of being unless it's a situation of some of the water being able to split and recover the water. And we are saying currently legislation and focus is just on the 35%. And also 35% as well, you have mining where you can now talk about challenges like acid mine drainage, you have industrial use where you have pollution and everything that's pollution. And within urban and rural areas, within the urban space, talks about the asset condition in terms of infrastructure. And a lot of focus for now has been on this. But if one just looks at it in terms of the bigger picture, you can actually see that there is a lot of focus that needs to be given to where most of the water goes. Not because it is not used properly, but saying, are we using appropriate technology under the circumstances that we have? I mean, we have things like green technology for agriculture. And I mean, for food produce, it's quite important for people to be able to grow foods and even for animals and everything. But we are saying there's a room for improvement within that space in terms of using the water that we have there. And getting to the NPC position, having given the background that has been given, it's the choices that are available. Either we do nothing and allow natural progression where things are the way they are, and part of that is there's a lot of presentations that are done by different people. Some are saying there are sensitive water sources at this particular point in time, but it comes back to why are they sensitive in terms of where they are. That's why you always have a lot of people, especially within the rural space, who say there's a lot of dams built around them, but they don't have access to that water. I know the department is trying to address this particular issue, but as well, there are economic centers that have been created in terms of, I can go back to 1987, in terms of some of the legislation that has been passed at that particular time. And one can even move to whether if you look at spatial justice from a point of view of people that have been displaced over time, in terms of where people sit and whether the way the sources are at a particular point. And if one looks at those things from the point of view of where they come from, the issue becomes, do you redistribute water to actually ensure that it's available equitably for everybody? Or do you say, because you already have economic centers from a point of view of how the water is utilized, we need to leave them the way they are, but we know we don't have enough water. So the issue becomes, do you now get water from elsewhere, or how do you deal with ensuring that you can have new water in the check? For now, we are looking at for certain scenarios, there might be a issue of saying, no, let's just leave everything the way it is and then we'll see what needs to happen. Another issue of you might be a radical paradigm shift by reducing 1987 to 1968 in terms of allocation and planning accordingly. Or the third one is complete stop and reconfigure as the long term in terms of our saying, if everybody in the country has to have equal allocation, let's relook at the whole thing too. So there are options in terms of what needs to happen. But we say the plan at national level macro both thinking so that the country thinks into the future, 20, 30 at least, and ensure that year now is the life of the child, because we have to start immediately when we're going to do something. And hopefully, some of the things that I'm saying are part of that, that's okay. Just to talk about the issues every year and today. Present attention to construction and reconsideration of models upon which analysis has been made. Because the tendency in the country of this age has been, there are areas where you say, no, that wouldn't be the case of origins for the resolution. But if you look across it, or around those particular areas, you still have a lot of demand where it cannot be met because this is our region, and things cannot be that complete. So what you're saying is, you might need to have a clean slate and start to think of what you need. And what you're saying on the region, you need to redefine the landscape for the sector, is the right idea to address the special issues. You need to examine why they are just between the intent of policy and regulation on one hand and the implementation of the other. So some of the things that I've said are not new, but the most is there's always plans, but they never get to fruition because this is the apodat. This different process must be compatible with the goals. Specifically, the following needs to be repeated. Poor quality, quantity, and relevance of it. Because some of the decisions that are being made are based on our data. So that's why I've been using that slide. We need to keep on asking how sensitive is the data and how accurate is the data to be used. Poor regulation and enforcement thereof. I did say in certain instances, it's quite difficult to start enforcing some of it. Regulation is only now as a sector that the sector is talking about putting regulation in place, but as well, it's still. If people talk about the non-standard standards, just as an example, one look at the municipal space, which does not necessarily report to the minister responsible for water contamination, you will still get an issue of people using different legislation that says they are water responsible. And the non-standard standards that come from the department are seen as an option, something that people can decide to take on. But if you have strong relation and you talk about licensing, then it's a requirement for everybody. Licensing gives one an opportunity of taking minimum standards, whether it's about the state of the infrastructure, the amount of investment that needs to be made, the minimum requirement in terms of people that need to work in that space. It creates a very different situation. Reform and transformation of water institutions not fully implemented, lack of integration and common goals, lack of accountability and unfair roles and responsibilities. Efficient legislation, but poor implementation and lack of decision making in the system. And we say on page 14, the plan must focus on national priorities, which includes the meeting of sustainable development goals as well. These priorities are underpinned by a thriving economy and international obligations in terms of the African development agenda. And I think this applies to us as well if one looks at the fact that not only are we getting water from other countries, but we also have to save other countries in return from a point of view of how the water flows. The plan is building blocks and a mix from local, regional, provincial, and national needs and policies. Integration will provide high-level direction and better demand accountability for most spheres of government for the implementation of this plan. The plan must be simplified and properly defined in order to track down progress and identify areas within national intervention in order to achieve national objectives. And this is the overall approach, integrated and mass balance in nature. We need to consider all the competing water requirements from all sectors, looking into input water from neighboring countries that take the surface water to share basins, rain precipitation, hydro, meteorological information necessary, sea water desalinated for potable and industrial use. This is one of the key areas when one starts looking into the future to say, you also need to get the whole issue of shared water basins that we have a few of these basins, but the issue of the precipitation comes to the issue of evaporation that we're talking about earlier. But then again, we are not a landlocked country. There's a lot of potential water that needs to be utilized where you can actually use this animation. The question becomes, as a country, given where we are and the amount of access to sea water, because our view as well is the amount of money that is spent by the country on R&D for desalination. Yes, we understand that the energy and water becomes an issue because you need a lot of energy for desalination. But what we're saying as well is we have the kind of fund where you can actually use solar power gradually decided it. And some of the things that we have to start looking at slightly differently. Say there are likely events that you have extreme periods of drought, where would you actually consider having more water? And of course we have a lot of sea coverage across the country or around the country, the bigger part of it, and we are saying towards the north, you do have a lot of water, you need to start looking at that kind of relationship. But as well, are we doing enough to start saying we need to look at desalination as a future option for a climate change in the situation around? There will always be more water in the future, and anyway, but it's just a thought that there's a lot of work that we need to do in terms of looking how far we can go. Expand beyond the look at output in the form of evaporation, access to neighboring states and consumptive use of water, irrigation without runoff, non-consumptive, and expand beyond the public and do a risk assessment of the use of supply in neighboring countries like this, from which bulk of our water comes from. This risk assessment, amongst others, which have the possibility of drought, war, change of government, and other forms of conflict. Partial planning to break up and take geopolitical intervention. Something that is still there from a point of view of where people are, that can be displaced, and the areas where they are, you can't necessarily place it. And at this stage, the decision not to move people into areas that they think as well means you have these changes where from time to time, I think as parliament, there's always an issue of people saying that we don't have enough, we don't have access to this, and we don't have access to that. Perhaps it's not even a political issue, but there is a natural phenomenon from a point of view of where people are situated. But it's certain things where decisions probably have been made for the right reasons, but the issue of dealing with the consequences of those decisions has not been fully assessed. On the next page, we are saying allocation for irrigation use must be reformed and structures to be reformed by the quantified livelihood benefits per volume allocated from benefits selected to livelihood and economic development. We need to include and not limited to employment created by revenue from produce to security and achieve efficient water use index contributing to the GDP. The next approach should be seriously implemented, noting that water is not a result of the system. The idea that this was done as our it is a final community that must be protected for future generations and must be set up and connect and train. Technological advances, getting of fresh water or water fit for use is bringing the world towards, is driving the world towards innovative technology, which is more efficient ways of drinking water and also reducing the use of water resources. Desalination of seawater into potable or industrial grade water is common practice in the world where public water is needed. These technologies demand huge investment, but together with higher level skill sets within the Republic of South Africa that we should have. Water government, we have observed a particular approach in recent years. The absence of local government legislation made the government of water business even more complicated. Understanding and aligning with legislation is a critical process that must be undertaken. It should be noted that legislation is one of the critical tools at our disposal for governance and management of water in the Republic. Legislation should be clear on the allocation of responsibilities and managing the water venture across the water cycle. Of utmost importance is the enforcement of regulations where accountability is demanded. And another provocative page 18. We say here, let's not try to do everyone by only focusing on 5 to 6 million women policy in the water sector over 50 million when we have an increase of small water development policy of 5 to 8 million to be used again as no more than 1 to 1.5 or even 2 million. We have gotten into this space where we only do mega projects. And when we talk about them, we talk about these big dams that came 15 to 16. Some of the preamble was here now. And if you are going to say, I'm going to build a dam that I'm going to finish it in 15 to 20 years and going to cause multiples of millions of lives, perhaps we need to start considering looking at smaller dams that take 4 to 5 years to actually build. And we can still do most of that and be able to. So we need to start doing things quickly because even the number that we have in the beginning is multiplied with us as the media situation and all that. So we have this big one because how we've done our work in terms of play. We just focus on the money project in terms of some of the events. They take a long time, but the money is now in terms of what we have to do. All we are saying is there's still room for the big mega projects, but we also need to start looking at the smaller development in terms of smaller things. planning for the water security. From an existing planning perspective, key focus is in the natural property. How much of water and where? The natural property is clean, rivers, wetlands, lakes, and the embankments and bottom and ground water systems. The infrastructure property is the canal, the reservoir, the dams, the weir, the sluice, the well, the boreholes, pumping plants and wastewater treatment plants, including operating rules for air and drinking facilities. The water itself, including physical, chemical, and biological components in and about the soil. And we break it up further in terms of saying from a distance training perspective, the socio-economic system, looking at demand, water use and water-related human activities, financing for water development and management, because sometimes that's a big issue. There are all these demands, but we don't even know how to finance or what needs to be done. Administrative and institutional systems, processes, institutional tools and mechanisms, systems of administration, legislation and regulation, including authorities responsible for managing and implementing law and legislation, water governance in general, including national requirements and international regulations. The water sanitation services, primarily conveyance systems, up to cap for utilization and disposal. And this is mainly from socio-economic perspective. It must include the relevant infrastructure aspects, must also be viewed in the context of environmental flows, especially in terms of the impact on ecosystems generally. Water information and knowledge. Knowledge capital is an integral part of the various elements, especially in view of the interdependency of water resource sectors outside the so-called water board. But African legislation changes the issue of monitoring and information clearly as evident from the preemptory nature of Chapter 14 of the National Water Act. Then the plan is to be based on a holistic approach that considers the entire water cycle from source to sea and back, and should put human influence on the water in nutrient cycle, environmental flows at the center, reflect key elements of end-to-end water retention capture that will allow full beneficiation upstream and downstream of any water. Local water management matters as a matter of course. Looked at within the context of socio-economic development and not just for social justice. Intellectual capital associated with food value chain in cognition of the data of the world. South Africa's ability to leverage this aspect in line with the position in respect of infrastructure. Institutional framework should be finalized within the shortest possible time so that the policy and legislative regime is properly tested and not fitted or questioned before implementation. From concepts to off progressive realization. In most cases, there's a lot of things that have been studied, but they take so long that nothing has actually happened. We all know what the problems are, but there are all these projects that are supposed to be done to change the situation, but they never get to fruition. Must balance approach to account for every drop and flow thereof compared to aspirational needs. Continuous improvement to identification of risk and bottleneck and provision of intervention and guidance. Decisions must be supported by reliable data and critical evidence. And on page 24, this is a slide that would be quite familiar, I think, in the committee as well, where we're looking at the ranging in terms of how water comes in. The blue aspect in terms of the diagram, three things that have been composed, I mean. But the reddish part is where the municipality operates at this stage. And just looking at it, it just says you don't have somebody who's accountable for the end-to-end delivery in terms of what is happening. And breaking this down is quite key to understanding exactly each point, which is what I think for, we are proposing that even the portfolio committee should be looking at, understand who's responsible for what along this particular chain, and who has to do it, and what kind of investments have been made here, and you have the right quality people that are actually doing this across this whole chain. It's a very useful diagram here that is here, because it gives a very good perspective of where we are at this particular point in time. And we say just here again to be conversation with 90% of water log through allocation of there, water that is allocated, but whether that is being utilized something else. So they designed to address economic structural zonation, conveyances in infrastructure not designed for high roads in terms of where it's actually required, because most of this is quite old and the changes within the country are not accommodated in terms of where the infrastructure lies in condition as well. The next page is quite important as well, in terms of institutional training. We all understand that we have a high-level view of what needs to happen, even when we talk about water management. But this has to start at the local level, because if one set a plan for the, whether it's a city or town, or even community or village, if one is in place, the plans that have been done and the aspirations at a particular point, they are the ones that should know exactly what is to happen. Then it moves to metro, then functional area, looking at water use association, sectoral functional, energy, agriculture, health, environment, industry, that's what it's called. Water is the mega sector. And looking at catchment and everything. Then we have the National Water Master Plan, where water and sanitation strategy, investment plan, intergovernmental and coordination actually happens at this level. But everything needs to start at the bottom in terms of this going up. But from time to time, there has been a view of trying to say, let's do a master plan on behalf of other people. But unless you have the real information from the bottom going up, you will never actually get it. And then you will have the water security plan, which is where we sit from point of view of the MP. But this has to be informed by what happens to the local service. And I think this is what we say with the institutional framing. The next thing is just a different view, still looking at this, but I'm thinking, looking at the micro game where we're talking about IDPs and other local plans. What we're saying is, if we have a municipality, and especially an effective municipality, in terms of the IDPs and NDs, they need to know in the whole area what the events are, what the activities are within the arrangement. And the last time one looked at this thing, municipalities were wall to wall. I mean, even in terms of where you have traditional councils, they also still fall under the city. So these things have to start from there and actually be moved up. And we think that some of the available legislation speaks to these particular issues, but it's more the implementation and monitoring of how this happens. Then you have network scale where you have provincial development plans and also looking at settlement management as well. And at the macro scale where you're looking at the NDP and this map. And here, without necessarily going into this is just a different depiction of the water supply chain. Looking at local entities, regional entities, and national entities as well. In terms of exactly who has to play what, and what we're saying is the plan needs to encompass everything from the point of view of what we have here. And our view is this is how the institutional framing needs to be like. The next page is just the South African institutions, and we are at this particular point in time, because it's important to tell you whether are you covering everything. But what is missing from this? This is more water focused, but I also think it's quite important looking at the nexus nature of water that we also need to understand that every other sector needs water as well, and this thing needs to be framed in such a way that you actually know people make their plans and only come at the last minute to the department to say they need a license for this and that. But I think there is a need to change the particular situation, because you can't make any plan, I think, in my view, without actually looking at the impact, because one way or the other, water is going to have to be involved in that. I know there's work that the department is looking at from a point of view of even getting other pieces of legislation to be subordinate to the National Water Act or whatever act that they are working at, because it's important for looking at issues like that at the national level. And these would now be the key areas of coverage, and in most cases, some of the issues that I think I know the committee sometimes works on. Infrastructure, looking at conditions, availability, reach and access, financing, operating skills, affordability, looking at the resilience and sustainability during times where we've been raised, talking about drought, knowledge gathered by information, we had the right skills within the sector at this particular position. Other determinants, regulatory allocation, plan, monitor, and reallocate of the amount of data that we have, correlation as well. So what you're saying is this is what these institutions are supposed to be focusing on. This is the work that is being done by the department in terms of analysis. But from the NPC, the plan should be to actually ensure that these things are done from the point of view of the framing that we are coming up with. The next one is based on some of the proposed new water management areas and catchment management agencies to try and address some of these things. What you're saying is we also recognize the work that the department is doing from a point of view of trying to address some things. They talk to the management institution in terms of how the department is trying to restrain the work that they're doing. What's interesting is case study one and beyond. What we think is we are going back to where we started from in terms of saying, but how much is it? I talked about the 15 million cubic meters, and I talked about the 1 billion cubic meters, and I talked about the 14 billion that is available. And what we're saying here, we can actually see the potential water in one of the countries like DRC, and we look at South Africa from where it is, etc., around the community and the potential that is there. And that is a matter of interest, something that is animated by this thing come up as a planning commission is the fact that as a country there's a lot of investment that is being put about in terms of looking at the India from the point of view of being able to generate hydropower from the hydropower source. But what we're saying is if this were to be framed even instead of bringing the 765 kV line transmission line from there, if you look at having that turned into canals, you can actually dam the water. Not only are you going to get energy, but you will have water as well coming. And you will also have the ability of actually changing the static picture from a point of view of ability to utilize the land that is around coming from DRC into South Africa as well. So unfortunately, we need to have a small view on some of the things that we need. And part of some of the things that we need has to be looked at. And still looking at the things we are thinking about on case and things, inter-basin transfer, groundwater, water, wastewater reuse, rainwater harvesting, and the issue that I have is here of artificial groundwater recharge. And I was showing where the rainwater is being in the particular region, we might need to reposition that and start looking at artificially recharging certain areas, depending on the amount of volume of water that we have. The next page is what is hereditary currently? Those arrows are just showing how good we are as a country. So it's not a kick business, so to speak. We are already quite adept to moving water from one source into a particular area. So the skill is there from a point of view of how we think at this stage. But what we're saying is the amount of available water is not enough, even if one looks into the future from a point of view of what we think. Because our view is it's not, we shouldn't just have a 1 year, we need to have a 10 year, 20, 30, 40 years. This is some of the things that we say when we deal with it. How do we frame this differently? That's why looking at other sources is quite important, because we have to start now, even if we know that the need might be in the future. The next slide, 34, is just showing the economic growth area. South Africa growth areas and implications for water requirements determined by the growth over time. The point that I was making, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, the assumptions made there, this natural anthropogenic, looking at climate change, geopolitical movement, historical institutional issues, vulnerability, it says 50% of the population living in those cities and formal towns. But if you look at this, these are the economic growth areas, but are they going to change? What are the other areas? And if you look at the infrastructure in those particular areas, is quite stressed. But this also has a historical, there's a historical bearing to how things are in particular position. So as you look at how much water do you need, it's also now to speak to exactly where you're going to be water from. And the next area is I'm taking the key demand center as well, and this is the slide that comes from the government as well. So we need to understand exactly where we are as a country, and you will have the district ministers reconciliation strategy studies that have been done, areas of national economic initiatives, and based on the start of the red dot, social cost value added in the areas of national economic. The next one is just the intervention. But we use it in a very simplified manner is the whole cycle, looking at the demand and the supply management, environmental flows management, water and sector management, institutional arrangements, local through national and across sector, financial flows. This is a very simplified diagram that shows the whole issue of coming from rain surface and surface water and ground water, ocean and evaporation, and looking at ecosystems, drinking and domestic food production and urban systems and recreation and spiritual arrangement. And looking at this is what people use the water for. And looking at how do you manage all these arrangements. And the next page is where the different version of the intake, where you're looking at how do you manage the whole cycle. And I think this is where it's going to be important for the Commission to understand each and every part of this. How are these being managed? Because management of the whole cycle would give a very good perspective of saying the plan would actually be talking to particular issues. And in our view, if this is managed properly, we would actually be able to manage our water differently every time. And in terms of intervention, human capital development and improved knowledge economy, institutional reorganization for optimal implementation of global change, conducive and enabling regulatory environment, judicious investment in monitoring, assessment and information, systems approach to infrastructure development. Because this is the key issue of the style of how the infrastructure development is being put together. Next approach to address growth in demand and climate change, looking at water and energy networks, water energy and food networks, water, land and food networks, funding and financing, flows, improvements and monitoring. And what you're saying about the plan contents would likely cover six thematic areas as started based on the diagnostic report. And we are breaking it down in terms of looking at situation of the assessment governance and the following facilities. It's now water situation, water demand and supply situation, global change and adaptation to climate change, strategic infrastructure, asset management and functionality, strategic infrastructure planning and development, institutional and regulatory, looking at policy, governance, financing and investment, regulatory and institutional models. Human and institutional capacity, including intellectual capital contribution to the growth in the world. And this is the approach thus far of the NPC. And I would like to say to the committee as well that this is very important. We've had sessions with the department, but we are not at a point where there is alignment, because there is what is in the old, in the national development plan. But if one looks at the water chapter itself, we talked about 2024, it is the one of the water, but it doesn't say where the water is going to be coming from. And I think because we talk about particular measures then that are going to be put in place, but the approach here is start looking at exactly where you get the water from before you start looking at the arrangements that you need to have in terms of how you manipulate it. That's why the focus is starting from the terms of some of the gaps that we actually see. When you talk about the creation of an agency, but it doesn't say where some of these things are going to come from. So what we're trying to do, all the mandate that we've been given, is to try to come with a plan that will us enough to be able to give you some information. And this is our work so far, but we are working with the department in terms of looking at it. And for us, it's not only just working with the department. Because of the nexus nature of water, part of some of the treatment that we're putting together is there has to be a very wider audience, whether it's mining, whether it's energy, whether it's everybody is affected by the air. From our perspective, the National Development Plan has to speak to almost everybody in the country from a point of view, whether it's able to address all whatever we put in together and go what enough to make sure that it's all encompassed.
Important that we contact that so that we get a background, not only
some of the issues raised, obviously a number of questions have been raised. My only question that I can just simply just throw to the commissioners and also the department is, are we as a country safe because of our water for the next 15 years? It's a simple question.
Ukuthi aqoqe la manzi engone eyiwe. Okokugcina-ke If they don't give me bad that we are my cold, no matter. And the girl can see me. I own my cold. No much father. No man, I'm a father. I'm a father. Google and back. Now you can Google and back and I feel the nature a man's the mafood. In the national land. Well, but he can't say. I'm going to go to the house.
Who are drinking and what are these people are saying?
then you pass upon for being in Canada. She said that there's nothing positive there. There's nothing positive to report about. Then people are sharing water with animals, and here people don't have water, kids don't have water, yet at a dam in the area. And she referred to a family more in Newcastle, where the community called them yesterday with the same issue that she reported before, whereby the construction company, the board, is pumping water into the community, and then the community is drinking water, and they're pumping fast into the community, and people are taking the water fast. And then their animal households are dead because of the situation. Then she spoke about an area called Mkondo, where the water is dead. And spoke about the fact that two people, there was water spread in Devon, and the water was flowing into the ocean. Finally, the people suggested maybe people could begin in tents whereby they can store this water and then they can be part of the communication of water. And she touched upon the fact that the water was not in the relationship and she eye to eye. And she also said the concept of that. And then she touched about the DRC in Angola, and she touched about the fact that those areas are not surrounded by the oceans as much as South Africa. And then she asked what she suggested, why can't we pump the water from the sea, clean the water, and then use it to drink? And then she also emphasized the area about the non-existent relationship between the chief and the traditional and the municipality, because they were, and she believed that Ajit is not elected for 5 years. So the relationship is not. So also in the same relationship, people still have a part of it. The chief knows all about the problem because there's no relationship between the chief and the municipality. The information is not going to help people. So her emphasis is between the relationship so that people can still move and be
learning from the experience of
was linked to the infrastructure asset management and functionality. Just checking, was we have experiencing that in municipalities they always complain of a dilapidated infrastructure for water. As a result, you find the water leaks and the water wastage. And as far as I know, municipalities are having a section called a project management unit. I just want to know how often do you communicate with this unit? And are they well capacitated to ensure that the infrastructure asset management is properly looked after? And the second question comes to the infrastructure planning and development, including the human and social capacity. When we are noticing that some staff and members are employed to deal with infrastructure planning and development, but comes as a new council, then the municipality starts now to change the staff or the staff will leave. What plan do you have to ensure that infrastructure planning and development is maintained in a manner that even if the staff is put somewhere or is removed by the new council, but it does not affect the continuation of planning and development, especially when it comes to the master plan, because some municipalities will go that even the master plan is not clear that one can be convinced that there is going to be future supply or provision of water. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think you've asked this question so many times in the past, the Department's water plan. If we look at what is presented here today, the plan should be built from bottom to top, start at municipality level, and then get to that. Where I've got a problem with that is that most of our municipalities don't have the capacity to draw up a water plan. Go to your municipality, ask them to lend us your water plans. Like you're asking them, can you give me $1 million now? So I think that is a challenge that we will have to take a look at. I thought, and that's now my personal view, that the farm can draw up the water plan and then it filters down to the municipality, whereby the municipalities might then get their water plan in line with the national plan. So I just want to comment on that. Secondly, you showed us the process of from the dam dealing water to the purification plant. I think our biggest problem in the country at the moment is, and if you look at the 2014 Green Drop report on the 824 wastewater treatment plants, they release 5,000 megaliters of sewer per day into a system that's been designed, or into a total system that's designed for 6,500 megaliters. That leaves us in a country only with 22% capacity. That will create following that in some instances most of our sewer plants are running either on capacity or over capacity. If you further look at the Green Drop report, you will find that 84% of our slopes are either in a critical risk, high risk, or medium risk. That only gives us 16% of our plants that are releasing water into our risk streams. That is in line with the Green Drop report. So, whatever we want to do is we need to stop the source of pollution. And if we then look at our blue scorpions, there's only 85, well in May, it was only 85 of the 177 blue scorpions that was appointed. And not one of them have been designated as environmental management inspectors at that stage. That creates a problem that we are not acting against those municipalities on a daily basis, that's producing our river systems. And I want to know whether there's another plan, another way of dealing with this, because if we leave this to the municipalities to manage, it's not happening. Currently, I don't see if there's not something else being put on the table that it will in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much. My question was going to be the one that they were asking. But before that, can we not hear the Danish Commission from the constitutional mandate of the public department and appreciate that they were somehow blamed with regard to the situation? What is the constitutional mandate? What is your view on the mandate given to the department by Shabi, the rule of the municipality, and by Hashem is not coming for us. What is the role of the Trinity or the involvement in helping the Trinity come to the chair this way, this, you know, the pen which is the foundation of the work of our work. And the second thing is, have the Ten Commission look at the issue, my colleague here is here, the issue of human capacity in such a discipline. Instead of complaining about my scholars, I have to address that problem. They will really go into the kind of capacity that they have at local level, especially in view of the fact that they're just raising the issue that the land has to come from bottom. And once they're bottom, kind of capacity that they're there for. Now, the last one, sir, is the 2% of the Western for cancer. The monitoring from our university committee, the Bill Commission right now, in order for the state to say our monitoring and mechanism in place, this is our monitoring, in line with the committee also in the open and the many areas and I think that the kind of prevention of water what informs that and so the main check in the community that's an area that we are missing to say is important that we share that we can out how is the issue of life in the society, which I think they will take it that that threat has been informed by the information that they have with you. For now, shall we continue?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning for all of us. My question is on the issue of the task. Is there any database of all water implantation infrastructure in the national country? So we have a database. I don't think we need to complain as of nothing. We must claim after some. Two, as there's a matter of blame. Previously, how would this be doing? Because those commissioners, those commissioners, who were they waiting for that? Without a plan. And now that you have started to develop a new plan, when you're showing the map, the page, at this page 4 or something, you said the map indicates most of water is from the eastern part, KwaZulu-Natal and Mpumalanga. Are we encompassing that, those provinces that have a lot of water in the current plan that we're doing. What we do, we construct small dams, because the NDP problem is think about small dams, constructing small dams, as you have mentioned 3 to 5 years. Is the plan that we're doing now encompassing that? If it is encompassing that, are you sharing that with the department so that they can start doing that, so that they can start reconstructing the what called the dams at the present moment? Not that we wait until the plan comes in 5-6 years to come when water is dried up. What will be the use of constructing those dams and dams? And then you also indicated on the issue of when you are doing the collecting data for the master plan. Then you have to start right from the village down there and go up until the national. When you are advising the department, what happened? Who should be doing that? And how long should that take? How long will it take? Because we used to be in the radical stage. But radicalism, in an evolved radicalism. You see, it looks like we're still stagnant. We're still stagnant. Even in one place. When do we expect that to be? Because even if the matter is still strong, I think there should be something that is happening. Water is drying up. I think we did indicate that the Water Research Commission did tell us that water is drying up. And lastly, I know we have got this relationship, the international relationship, which is a very good thing. But looking at the map, DRC is with a lot of water. DRC has got a lot of water, and also Angola, which is next to Namibia, has got a lot of water. There's also Zambia, which is next to Botswana, has got a lot of water. Whereas South Africa has to distribute to Botswana and Namibia. We were different from Botswana, from here, where there's no water. There's no water here. We take to Botswana and Namibia, which are next to. How do you ask the department, ask the government, when we have this international relationship, we have this agreement, how do you ask this to make sure that even those they come to assist those two countries that have made, even South Africa? Thank you very much.
Just ask you one quick one from my side.
That's what makes it difficult in terms of what we have to do. The
you mandate actually speaks to us being able to advise cabinet, president, and even parliament as well from a point of view of what you serve. And working closely with all the different departments, because it all comes down to even the allocation of funds. Because at this particular point in time, I think the secretariat will tell you that in most cases people say the NDC needs to do all of these things, but the allocation is going elsewhere, and the view is actually ensuring that that money, wherever it goes, gets to do what it's going to do. And I think I'll come back to this as I answer some of the questions that have been asked. So you're right, your first comment was there's nothing new in terms of some of the things that you're talking about. But that's precisely the problem. All of us know what the problem is, but the issue of implementation. Nobody wants to change anything, although we all understand what the problem is. And I think the radical nature of what you're talking about stems from that. I think the understanding of the problem is such that everybody knows about them, talks about them, but the idea is to get to a point where people are held accountable to make sure that if everybody does their part, we won't find ourselves in this situation. Because you are right, you would have seen a lot of presentations about things, but presentations are just presentations. The trick here is to get to a situation where you now say, this is what needs to happen, this is how the allocation of the funds has been done, and let's see implementation, because that's something that is quite tricky. Plan for the water, is it a sector one or a national one? I think on page 25, I tried to address that particular issue, just showing where the communities and villages sit, town, the metro, we're talking about the functional area in terms of who needs to be contracted. Catchment, that is now the national water master plan, which would now, if you look at these things, they are integrated in their way. But then the national water, that's why we talk about the national water security plan, from a point of view of where the planning commission sits. But for these things to happen, what it needs to do is to actually make sure that everybody does their part. And if it works that way, you'll actually be able to see that it's not necessarily us. We are responsible for ensuring that the department does what it has to do. And the department is responsible to make sure that at the regional engagement level, people are doing what they have to do. The functional areas, some of these structures like the Water User Association, they are under the control of the department in terms of what is happening. Now, the question still becomes how effective are we in implementing legislation? Because you find legislation, legislatively, we have some of the most brilliant pieces of legislation. But whether we are implementing that, that is something else. Perhaps that's why it was a bias was talking about regulation and right of regulation from somebody that is overseeing and actually monitoring, but also setting minimum standards. Because there are questions, but maybe I need to follow a particular orientation of how the question came. Because I might lose certain things by doing that. But I hope I'm answering that in a way. The issue of commodity versus natural resource. What I put here, it cannot be classified only just as a natural resource, but because it is also a factor of production across some of the other people. That's why businesses should go to the department to Mr. C and they need to get a license before they can do something. And if you get it, it has a very commercial nature to it in terms of what needs to happen. So it cut both ways, and I think it's all about now creating that balancing act. Unfortunately, youth move from looking at it as a natural resource from a point of view of sustaining life. But as it goes up, when you have economic activity, it changes its face as well in terms of its impact on the economy, but as well its ability to actually even get people employed, because it's at the center of everything. That's why sometimes we feel, even in terms of the national agenda, the question should be that the commission should be asking, the committee should be asking, is water sitting at the right level in terms of the national agenda? In my view, it should move a couple of steps up, because you really cannot do anything about water. But is it on the national agenda? And it's a question that we're living with the committee, because really, it's at the center of everything. And in a way, I think I'm getting to, the issue of predictability. What I said in my opening was you are dealing with an unpredictable product. Yes, I call it a product. The emphasis was not on product. We just say, for water, you expect that it will rain, but you don't know whether it's going to rain or not. Definitely.
at the demand, every morning, everybody opens the tab and expects water to come out. For you to do any commercial activity, whether it's for humans, sustaining humans by way of agriculture or by industry or mining, you need water to do that. So everybody expects it to be predictable from a point of view of sustainability. But what we are saying is it is unpredictable itself. That's why you now need to look at other sources from a point of view of how do you get it and how do you show that, you make sure that it's in abundance so that at least you'll be able to deal with any situation if it comes. But as well, there's the issue of responsible use, which is quite key as well. And you are right, that's why part of what I said as well in the presentation or what you're saying is we need to be engaging with everybody else. I think it is in the presentation. That's why the issue of research and collaboration is not only about us within the water sector. And I think from the NP, we're saying the core people within the water space will be DWS and it will also be the committee also to the department. But it touches across everybody else from a point of view of our potentiality of water. That's why we'll be dealing with everybody else instead of ensuring that ultimately whatever we have in the NP is something that is known by everybody and hopefully would be acceptable to everybody, because sometimes it's a given change given the fact that everybody wants more of it. The issue of regulation, I think we've touched on that. Interaction with other international players, I think that is a matter for the committee in terms of its role now engaging with international players. I think that is something between the executive department as well, and I guess the minister. And the issue of use of technology relevant to our situation, I think the point is well needed, and we take it, and that's what we are saying today. If we say 15% of the water is in our space, are we using technologies that are not aligned to our situation in this region? So it is directly aligned to what we are saying. And then some of these issues get to be a big Kaola, the issues, I know you've always raised the issues of England, Jordan, Newcastle. What do you say on that is, that is why on page 15 we are talking about spatial planning. The idea is there is a portion of the development plan that is focusing on spatial planning. And there we are also now introducing the issue of saying, at some point we need to take to the executive the issue of spatial justice. Because you can't just be talking about spatial planning. What if you find that people that are in those areas are in areas that at some point if you were to use a particular standard, these people should not be staying here. Are we going to move them as government? And it's not an answer that the commission can give, but it can actually take that to the executive. And it will be debated because it will have its own pros and cons. But we have to put it up that way and say that why are people here? Why are people staying in areas where there's no water or where the water is? It might be found that if oversight was done properly, then there wouldn't be that issue where people are getting water that is not of the right quality. Especially if one, again, coming back to the issue of regulation or oversight. Because unfortunately, the issue of pieces of legislation that are different. Sometimes they give power to people so that it's very difficult for the department to have full oversight over it. It's easy to say, no, the department is responsible. But that's why I was saying the department is not fully in charge of the total value chain. I know the department is working on certain instruments to actually change that, but they need to work faster. So my point of view on having full oversight. Otherwise, you always have this kind of issue where we say people are not having water or they're turning to water with everybody. But there's a different side to me. They were forced to remove our system. Interestingly, I'm not saying this is a situation here. And people were put in areas where you can never have any economic opportunity. Now, the executive will have to make a call on those to say, do we move people? Then it becomes a cultural issue as well. And I'm getting off the topic now. There are issues like very outside and whatever, but in the main, are people supposed to be there or not? Because they were brought there because there was never going to be any activity that they can be suitable for people to stay. And you know, the EVP stays in the self-government system. That's where most of your challenges, if you were to look at all the related issues with water come from. But somebody won't be the NPC, but you can only advise. But I think the executive will have to make the call in particular issue. And the issue of local government versus regional affairs, I'm afraid to try on this one because in most cases, if one were to be controversial, government and the traditional government. Should you, because if you look at where you have traditional leadership, they are supposed to be doing the function that incentivizes is done by local government. But the way the structure is not that we have local government, and local government is the one that gets the funds, and then we have traditional leadership, which follows its own different kind of discussion. But I think the discussion that at this stage, we're not on that platform. But I'm just putting it out there that in terms of how things work, that's why you always have these dynamics. But there is an executive portion in terms of what is it called there? That looks at local government and traditional affairs, but I'm not sure which part is are they heavy bias towards. But the mechanism that way, there's still a lot of debate that can be put out today, but isn't traditional leadership, in fact, in terms of how it was before, saving the labor versus local government? It's just something that I'm putting there. I'm not saying it as a commissioner, but at this stage, we have actually set them both like this, and money is only going to one side of it. And yet in the past, you have people that actually paid in the traditional leadership how to actually get things done. But those things have been changed, but it's not our space to comment on that. I'm just putting it out there. The Honorable Shilem talked about the dilapidated infrastructure. What I would say on that is, if one looks at the laws, the regulations that are coming from the Department of Water and Sanitation, there are processes that allow the department to actually do that, but the issue now becomes the information flow in terms of whether somebody is looking at that. But maybe perhaps it's not the department that we have to look at. The question has to be, if the money comes from the system, why is Treasury giving money, allocations, for an example, for water infrastructure, if they don't check whether there's capacity to actually do that? So perhaps we need to frame some of the issues differently. Talking about whether there has to be oversight in terms of management, it's only half the problem. The other part is whether now somebody is making money available. And we know most of them draw money from the fiscal in terms of the division of revenue. But how and under what conditions is that money being given? So again, it's some area where there has to be discussions, because if you study from there, it changes everything. But as well, it's a matter of department saying or local municipality saying, we can't wait because we were not given our allocation. But that allocation, where does it end up? If you talk about infrastructure within the local space, in most cases, somebody also has to, because it's not just on challenge, which I think the chairman mentioned, and also pricing. But the issue becomes, are those operating as, when you look at these tariffs, that money ends up within the water space in terms of infrastructure? Or is it cross-subsidizing nothing? We always talk about these things, but I think our ability to be able to check exactly and trace where the money goes, it's not there. We're talking about porous infrastructure because the infrastructure is so bad as you say. But if you look at the charge, you might find that, and that's what the department has to address this own issue of having a very strong regulatory wing. Whether it's a standalone or not, I'm not going to get into that. But to be able to look at that, because in most cases, the problem becomes that money comes in, or people don't even look at water losses because then they can actually they can have a tariff that is looking at consumption level. And then you get people feel alive because they don't have to worry about it. They can balance their books by saying, I'm having a step-up tariff. Instead of saying, we are losing so much water as a country because we are not looking at our infrastructure. But the question becomes, if you know that people don't have what it takes to do that, why is your money made available? So probably it's all about the kind of conversations that need to be had. The other issue is the master plan. And I think I'm touching on that in terms of regulation by the department. How do you deal with the changing at local municipality level? You would have probably at every 5 years changes, or even before that time, changes in terms of local leadership. That would not be a problem. I think what needs to happen is, if the department was doing what this part or dealing with it effectively, it should be that once the department has adopted the plan of particular municipality, and National Treasury is happy with the fact that the municipality has capacity to do what it has to do, it doesn't matter who the leadership is, because at national level, the department will have adopted those plans. But as we say, they chop and change, and people change people, but that should not derail anybody from following a particular direction. So I do think that there is a way around this particular issue, but there's still a lot of engagement that needs to happen in terms of that. Because the department, in fact, has to have annual plans for them from the municipality. But that annual plan, once it's adopted, whether it's a one-year plan or a multiple-year plan, that should be what gets followed, what the department has certified itself. Because it won't be looking at the political dynamics on the floor. It will be looking at the national direction that would actually be aligned to its own plan and also to the NDP at the end of the day. So everybody needs to understand what the line of march is. But we need to make sure that line of march is not necessarily dictatorial, but it talks to the relevant requirements from each of the areas so that it's adopted by everybody. Member Gasson just touches also on your issue in terms of democracy as municipality, talking about the green growth status. And I've said here, and you are saying that, well, status is allocated irrespective. But why is it being done that way? And I'm saying, I agree that there's nothing new in here, but perhaps what we need to be looking at is now how to take this forward to say that why are we still doing the same thing and expecting different results? It's like we are expecting something to come from somewhere else to change the situation, but we have within the current system ability to actually say that if we hold you accountable and you have to do 1, 2, 3, and 4, you have to do 1, 2, 3, and 4. And as long as money is being made available and it's not used for what it's supposed to, why are we doing it? That's why the issue of licensing, what we're thinking of is, it also needs to have a portion that talks to minimum requirements for you to be able to be an operator or be in the space. If you're talking about the green drop, it will now be more on the operators in terms of what they need to do looking at the sanitation space. But then the department as well is the Department of Water and Sanitation. There's only half that function that has moved because the money has not come over into the department. That's another topic and debate that they will have to look at. But what we're saying is, and the infrastructure for sanitation, it's solely within the municipal state. The department does not have a lot of infrastructure that is used with sanitation itself, but they will speak for themselves when they have an opportunity. And yet they need to give oversight. The reason why there is that difference is on the water side, it's not been that there have been challenges, there are challenges, but at least the department has the kinds of things like water boards where they have their presentation planned for us. But on this side, there has never been that move where you had infrastructure to become well, or you had that involved. So the municipalities have been looking at that from their end. So the capacity issues are real, but now the interesting thing would be to see how the department moves from being the Department of Water and Environmental Affairs, and I'm being controversial now, to water and sanitation, and what does it mean when they talk about sanitation? Is it just providing oversight, or are they going to take over the function at bulk level? And if some of these discussions that we need to also engage with them to find out exactly what they want to do. But we are aware of the problem. And the issue of smoking pollution. Funny enough, is legislation or how it's been done, I think it needs to be changed. Because it talks about user fee principle, but it says municipalities need to use bylaws to get that done. But even you were saying the municipalities are responsible for pollution itself, are we then beginning to pollute themselves? Which is, as the current legislation says, which is what is it, what we say. If we say go and police yourself on this thing, but you know that I'm actually the biggest polluter. That's why we say institutional arrangements need to be revisited to actually look at this. And I think there's still a lot of work here on the plantation aspect. Especially because all the infrastructure sits with the municipalities. So that's going to be interesting to see how the department uses it. Member Chaba, you were asking the question that the chair started with, who controls the water? It's okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Apologies. This is a personal offense. I didn't hear the chair comment. My apologies. Who actually controls the water? And you were talking about the constitutional mandate. Perhaps, again, be controversial. Perhaps even the constitution, we need to relook at that. Because sometimes things do not happen because there's a lot of posturing around what this law says and that law says. If we as a country say, but this thing is not working, why do you keep on going and citing things that are not effective? And we from the NDP, we were addressed by the executive, and The clear message was, leave no stone unturned, and it doesn't matter what piece of legislation. If you give advice that this is not working and here's evidence, perhaps the discussion at the executive level should be, there are things that need to change. And if it's for the good of everybody, why aren't we looking at changing them? There are things that we say we want to change, but it doesn't make sense, but this is for the benefit of people. So perhaps we also need to address that. But I think I've addressed this earlier when I said, we are there to give advice, but we are taking the function of the executive. That's why the ministry will also have quite a lot of accountability linked to this, because that's their constitutional mandate, and they have something to discuss as the executive as well in terms of what they have to do. So it's just trying to find that right balance in terms of what is to happen. But we advise the executive at the highest level from a point of view of what we think is wrong with everything that we have, or what we think needs to be improved. But we gladly would look at, as we put the plan together, who has to monitor what, and the timing as well, because we don't have time for some of the things that are happening at this stage. The information, human capacity and municipality, in a way, I think we've addressed it. And I know the department has started looking at some of its own programs to see whether they can help with this thing. And I will talk. Perhaps my other head assists me with this. You have problems like the war leaks where you get training of technical people to assist municipalities. But the funny thing is, the people get trained. Some of the latest challenges now is they have to do classroom work, but they also have to go into the field. But when they have to go into the field, the municipalities are not taking them, because they don't have people that need to give oversight over it, because these people have to have hands-on experience in terms of what needs to happen. Now, you have municipalities that have problems, but they also don't want to absorb the people, even though that are finished with the problem. Right now, that problem is also using private sector to actually ensure that you still have churn out quality students in terms of people that would be qualified at the end of the day. But there's a lot of discussions with municipalities. The question becomes, if you look at the municipality and according to the department, they say their figures are so bad, and yet if you say that they have you absorbed some of the students, they haven't. But they want products that are probably basic. But even then, when you come with people that are qualified, they tell you that our budget does not cater for this. So there has to be a rejig of the budget. What is happening with that particular project that is coming to the budget? They also now engaging with the private sector to actually ensure that the right users are acquired, so that when you have a fully fledged qualified person, they have actually satisfied all the requirements. So that is what's happening, Member Basson, in terms of how we need to deal with this. But we're not asking the right questions as well. And the information in terms of 3% mining, yes, this information comes from the department, so probably they would be able to give us more information on it. But where we were coming from, it's more also saying, I did qualify as a, I'm not sure how fresh the data is, but I did qualify as I was making the presentation that this we got from the department. We still, I think at entity level, trying to put together the teams that we actually even look at research. But we're always careful that we don't do duplication. If the department has this team and is able to draw the information that's necessary, well, what you need to do is look at how authentic that information is. But we all now have to go ahead, because we're always drawing from the fiscal, and we don't want to waste money unnecessarily, government money or public money unnecessarily. So it's a matter of the quality of that information. And as well, it should even go to the issue of the access to raw data, not necessarily interpreted data, so that we can interpret it ourselves. And I think that would be good even for the committee when you look at our interpretation versus department. We need to get to that stage, but what we're saying in our engagement with them has been to get as much information and in its raw format so that we can actually even get interpreted that information. So that's what we deal with. And I think that's the database of information. For now, the source would not be the sources that are available, like important information. But the department itself has a wealth of information, but like they always say, there's a lot of data, and in most cases, people use only 50% of the available data that they have, or manipulate it into information. So there's a lot of data that we have that we need to start converting and utilizing. But that's just a rule of thumb in terms of how far back we are in terms of information management. We are one of those countries that collect data. There's always a report for this or report for that. And what do we do with those reports? and it's something, but it, there's another level where we're looking at from the point of view of NDP as well. How did the Ministerial Commission work without a plan? Hey, that's gonna come out. But all I can say, suffice to say, the gap the executive was actually able to pick up, and probably that's why the mandate has been, let's get to a point where we now have the commission focusing on looking at what's in the development plan and ensure that it's structured differently. Because everybody at leadership level talks about alignment to the NDP. But if you take the water chapter and look at the NDP, but what am I aligning? Hence, we are going through this. Train-taking is going to be a bit controversial, but it's important to get to that point. But not only that, the leader there. Implementing or making sure that everybody else implements what they have to implement in terms of academics. And the other question that I have related to the small dams, in terms of looking at big dams versus small dams, I would say if one goes, the graph or the picture that you saw showed that the eastern side of the country, there's still a lot of rainfall. The issue was the rainfall in terms of where it's raining now. But the good thing is, if you go to KZN itself, especially in areas where one of the department's institutions, Ungen, is working, they have Darren as the main center in terms of what they work that they do. But they started looking at rural development from a point of view of making sure that the rural communities have water. And with the department's help, the department has been funding some of these district level camps. And they were able to do and finish those dams within, how do I say it, 4 or 5 years. I actually wanted to put it differently and say within one administration, because it's nice for decisions to be made and you see them to fruition. Now when you talk 15, 20 years, there's always this issue of dangers with changes in administration, but that has happened, and the size that I'm talking about is here at the end, especially the way they have moved from the ability to get the small dams put together to make sure that those rural communities have actually access to water. So it's a very good test site to actually look at how and what can be done as well. Yeah, they are listening. Yeah. I'm glad to see that I've covered all the issues around my... Yeah, under the
I'm sure you would agree with me that in the National Plan Commission, we have a candidate for our workshop.
Thank you, Dan. A good opportunity to make, forward to make just a comment or a concern. Chairperson, a lot has been said in relation with regards to the studies that have been conducted. But one thing that I touch on, Chairperson, is the issue of shooting of our dams. What is the commission federal department are doing with regards to where they or working the engineers into how that sort of be thrown out of the dams? Because each time we get rain, we get told that there's so much rain, our dams are up to so much. But only to find that that's just sort of given, not looking at the amount of silt that is below our dams. So the rain, or when it rains, water flows with a lot of soil. We could see that through the soil erosion that it is causing in our areas. So mine just is stuck around that maybe something needs to be done with us to deal with the situation now. So we could maybe be sure of whatever amount of water that we receive from rain is exactly what will sort of take us time to have the challenges of water shortages in our dams, or our dams drying up. Thank you, sir.
the capacity of the state is the position of the training commission where you are now. Have you, and I'm not sure, in the higher learning that speaks to the national development plan. What is the position there? I just want to have this understanding of that vision. Chair, you make mention of the candidates for the workshop. He's only going to come to the workshop only if he has a super control force. Because you said the reason I'm going to do this thing is because this with a little understanding now that we have picked up, things have been certainly a lesson for them. So who cares that make the mention of the general control that one is now, the question of yours that comes, maybe in that way, short head, when you can, there will be a need to have monitoring is really a game, not only monitoring, but accountability. Are you receiving this thing? We get very much money to be from the country. There are a lot of questions that go through that. So look at the possibility of work in the third resource. This portfolio committee is focused. It has to be resourced. So when you say we as government are in control of the small resource that we have in the country, we need it. I cannot say we're in charge of the department when we don't know who's or when 60%, almost 70% of the water is controlled somewhere where we don't have access. You know? So for me, Chair, come back to the election when we're also going to be going to overstating the mining communities. That 30% I read is what the mining communities within the platinum belt, there's no water. And the 30% that I look at when you say mining, and it's been 6% and 6% that it shares between Kaiba and Ugua. I don't know how much it's going to grow, but those mining communities in that Latin belt, for example, where I come from, there's no water. There's no water, two types of water, right? And this is over. It's a type of water that the local community, we're seeing that the water that the local community has. There's that water in the community. So the Latin Commission becomes a strategy body that sort of like an assist government generally, all government. I think that workshop will help us share a company. You can hear that when you speak the things that you can't help. We need to kick out these issues that you need to come out. So that we are able to help our department. Department arrange the constitutional mandate deliberately. Because if we are to go back to what is the funding of the department, the role of the department in the worker sector, constitutional, you find that municipalities that have more power, department is a recurring process, which is general management. But implementation is supposed to be a better level. And you make your point that sometimes maybe there's a need for constitutional management just to deal with the kind of but how shift from where the constitution in the state, how would be there at the level of partnership for the purpose of the government of the country. And to, you know, this is also we share, international water we engage on this matter. But I'm saying that the, for, I mean, we,
in the sector which are sampling issues and the national growth plan, we have to look at it at some point to check.
Well, I mean, we do that, right? All of this plan is not going to work as long as we don't know who controls them.
I did not introduce Mr. Chauke is our leader from the ANC. He replaced Marule. Unfortunately, they both come from Nobos. I like them.
Okay.
I didn't go with the reason that they were nothing to do. He has been a member of parliament since 1994. So he ain't even talking about he's bringing all that experience. But he's been a legislator. And we all know what is going on.
Yes, sir.
Irrigation. You see, you said 50 something ahead is going to irrigation. Is there any way in the telling that can advise the department to force this thing because you are irrigating using the usage of signals, the usage of technology? There are many ways because of carrying the robots and so forth, but there's a lot that is carrying the water going down and those who cook that water thing. And emphasize on the 3% on the street is mining. The industry and the power generation. If we can look at the recycling part of it, whether there's any possibility of investing in mining, those even mines themselves who have water in their ground, because they recycle the same one inside there to use. You see, I have been to one mine, in Katniss gold mine in the spring. You see, that water, it has been used now for the community around the area.
That's it for EWS and also Pula. Do you have a few questions that you are expected to respond to?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members. From our side, we would upfront like to welcome the presentation from the NCC and acknowledge that yes, we've begun to have a preliminary discussion here regarding what we have in touch with this. What I'm going to request is for colleagues to please step forward by bureaucracy, respond to some of the issues that have been raised, and I will make some concrete remarks again. For example, I'll ask my colleague Anil to be very brief in terms of the work that we're doing to build our regulatory capacity and some of the work that we take with the strike that we've made in the regard to is our regulator and in the department, and maybe we should be able to touch on issues pertaining to the agency as much as possible, but very aggressively. Colleague Gandhi, DDG Infrastructure, if you could please colleague respond to infrastructure bottlenecks. I think there is primarily the key message, if I heard honorable members right, with specific questions pertaining to the implications of taking over of the sanitation function. I do know that that is a big issue around drinking. I know you are informed around this and you could make some preliminary remarks. And then lastly, if you could also please speak on the work around
deciding to specific reference to the program you are meeting in the chapter. Colleague Debra, DTK Planning and Information, perhaps if you could just briefly give honorable members and the commissioners an indication of the scope, the depth, the breadth of the planning and information systems that we have and the extent to which we use that to plan for our work going forward. And then you might speak to what I think it's Mr. Patron or Commissioner Clinton who spoke about the need for a creative approach to ensuring that it's a bottom-up approach in terms of children's learning. Then lastly, I will speak briefly on the INTT, where the collaboration by different ministers, where amongst other things, the reflection on O&M, which is a big issue that I think the honorable members and commissioners will bring, and some of the changes to the proposals they are making in that regard. Attention that for the children's little attention, we will just respond quickly. But our idea is to welcome the presentation, to see if we can start as many, to see if the initial stages, questioning that they're going forward, we have to be engaged quite robustly so that we take this work forward. Thank you. Anne, please.
Thank you. I will just quickly run through the issues that are facing to myself. Well, as we indicated, as you might know, the calling lies somewhere from the administration. We've had many conversations, very focused and very progressive in terms of the linkages, and we welcome the presentation of the Planning Commission. What we have as a department to do is to augment this presentation. So there are three aspects that we will deal with very, very, very quickly. And we have documents to share with the committee for background reading. One document is which we demonstrate the linkages between the National Development Plan and the National Water Resource Strategy 2. The other aspect is on the institutional reform and realignment. But to answer the question of the chairperson directly, he's been asking this question of the legislation. The legislation is under draft at the moment. So we need to accelerate the drafting process to bring it to cabinet and to parliament sooner. We will perhaps talk about that in the workshop. So what the intention of the legislation is there is to augment and give effect to the policy framework of the department. And the legislation is dealing with equity, dealing with redress, and dealing with sustainability. So I think that's essentially what the focus of this new legislation is, whereby we are amalgamating the Water Services Act with the National Water Act. But the question of the mandate of the department, the primary mandate of the department is the protection of the water resource. Services is the mandate of local government, but in the since the dawn of democracy, the department has been supporting local government in terms of services, and that becomes even more difficult in the climate of limited resources. The question of the regulatory framework and improving our regulatory systems, we've briefed this committee on how we've improved our licensing regime. We've also briefed the committee on the work of enforcement. We now have 11 EMIs. That will be able to deal with the issue of the polluters. But if the polluters are the municipality, we have been following the intergovernmental approach of asking the municipalities to adhere to the processes before.
EMI, did you say?
EMI, Environmental Management Inspector.
Okay. And are we here to from Cisco? Kichi, did you say?
In
all these acronyms, and we can even come up with our own and test you whether you understand. Until we all of us are able to say that with this acronym and so on. Are you able to assist?
We appreciate
you. Thank you. You deal with this thing on a daily basis.
Yeah.
We're all aware about that. And then that, you know, assumed everybody accept.
I understand, actually.
I didn't say. And I also did say that you know that you are not married.
I did not say so.
No, I was going to wrap up now to say that, you know, of the environmental management sector. We have followed the legislation of the Department of Environmental Affairs. We have these people appointed as inspectors, which increases our capacity of the blue scorpions to do enforcement work. In addition to that, we have what we call the War on Water Pollution Program, a national program that deals with enforcement action against the polluters, whether they're the industry, whether they're the mines, or the local governments. But I think what the committee has appreciated is that the role of the department in supporting local governments becomes increasingly important. The big challenge for us is the issue of funding and the availability of resources. So I think that my colleague Shoki has a document that we will circulate that is keen to augment the presentation that was done by the planning. So with that, I will stop and hand over to my other colleagues.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. I will start with the issue of searching. I think I mentioned yes, in the committee that I think as a country we have not been very focusing on searching strategy as a way of managing our dam. We have turned up to that reality when we realized that in most of the dams that were only yielded in high compromise as we have seen. Since signed with us looking at a strategy on how to manage one, we will have a two-fold problem that we are engaging. One, we'll have to embark on, in some instances, we'll have to dredge. I think about two or three dams that have been identified that may need to still have dredging, which will be built up in the state. Those are the two dams that are going to use as panels for dredging strategy. But also, how do we make sure that as we continue building dams and the ones that are not yet high in silt, how do we make sure that silt is being managed? CSIR is supposed to report on the progress. I have requested for the progress report, but they have been working on that strategy. I must say that we have not been working very hard on the system strategy, but we have started out a year ago. And then on innovation, Chair, dissertation, we were caught by the Richard Bay issue where we were informed by our planning colleagues that I think it was about 2 months ago that Richard Bay was going to go down if non-intervention was done. We then quickly looked at a strategy that we had to do with in order to make sure that water in Richard Bay doesn't go down. I must say that it was an eye-opener because at least for the first time we managed to bring in within a month a desalination plant. I think the minister is going to be opening it up beginning of September. We've imported already two modules. We're expected to bring in five modules. Those modules are supposed to be up and running by November, and they will be giving us about 10 megaliters. We had attempted this, and the Rita Bay initiative is the package plan that we are hoping that as soon as the Rita Bay is up enough, coupled with the installation strategy in Rita Bay, we are also upgrading the coded off scheme so that we don't keep the desalination plant permanent in Richards Bay, but it's then going to be moved to other areas, especially when targeting coastal areas. But it's not the first time that the country is embarking on desalination. The market is that there has been a failure due to various issues. One was the issue of O&M. It's very costly. Especially when you have to bring it in municipalities that are actually starting to even run their current infrastructure, you then realize that one municipality even has to come back and say, thank you very much for this, but they can also give me a linear to manage it. So we have realized that it's quite a challenge, and the approach that you are going to be taking moving forward, that one, there is just no way, as the planning commission has indicated, there's no way that the country can rely on public water alone and groundwater. When we have adopted a notion that says, let's also look at desalination as a potential water strategy, but let's look at, let's learn from the lessons that we learned with the two plants that we implemented, one in Western Cape and one in Eastern Cape. The both have not done the well. I think one of them has also been decommissioned. We are trying to resuscitate the Western Cape on the last day, the Lambeth State decommission plan. It's currently under construction in our commission. But we've learned a lot in terms of, as the planning commission has said, that the issues may not necessarily be the policies, the strategies, but the issue is in implementation. That's why you learn that it becomes very difficult sometimes when you have not thought properly about the institutional arrangements, you have not thought properly about the issues of funding as well as the issues around servicing of such infrastructure. We do come very innovative strategies, but it can become very difficult to implement them. But I've learned from the two Lambeth Bay, one and the one in the Cape. But we have also identified not only going to be desalinating seawater, we are also going to desalinate some British water that we have identified. The current number of British water that we have identified, the number of areas, especially in the Northwest, we are also anticipating a problem where you are going to be looking at how to then bring in desalination as part of innovation in order to augment our water source in the country. I think my colleagues from planning, they may come back in the near future and elaborate broadly. I know you may not have been involved because this discussion they came at the time when we were implementing research today to say where else can we then move this plan. So, but it's going to be discussed in our planning meeting as a department to see how then we then make sure that we don't only exploit the water, but we also exploit the British water that is in many estuaries in the country that we have not been, that the department has not kept into that. And then the issue of small dams. There are two small dams that have been, that are planned and checked that we are ready to go on construction with them. The challenge is not about small or big dams. I think the biggest challenge that we are facing now is we don't even have money to build the ones that were bought record of implementation decision. The need for resources in the water space is quite huge. Right now, there is Mabeni, Australia, two dams. Those two, if we manage to get money from traders, we are able to build them. They're small, very small dams. Both, I think they're both not more than a bigger or slightly higher, but yeah, they're small dams. The challenge is that when we approach this material through the bridge process of last month, they were clear that there's not going to be any new money. So I think the challenge that as the water permit we should be looking into is in terms of water infrastructure, how do we then begin to think outside the box in terms of getting infrastructure to be able to address the current needs in the country? I think that is the biggest challenge that we are facing. There is just no new money that we are going to get in the next MTF. And when you look at the bill that we put forward, which is plus or minus 41 billion, it makes some ridiculous, but that is the reality that we need. It then becomes a challenge. In other small areas, in other provinces, there are two, Mabeni and Bula Dam. Mabeni is in Eastern Cape, and Bula Dam is in Northern Natal. In other areas, I'm not sure whether my colleague is looking at planning for other things. But over and above just building new dams, I think what we have also perhaps which is missing in the Planning Commission's presentation are standalone dams. There are quite a number of standalone dams where you find that dam was used specifically by irrigation community. There are people around the area, but they don't have access to that dam. There was a very aggressive problem that we once looked into in the department, but then again, the challenge is the money. But I also indicated to the team that we need to resuscitate that, where we're changing semi-purpose dam into multi-purpose dam. Taung Dam is one of those that we have tried to deal with, but we need to have to be looking beyond Taung and look at other small dams and let's see how we can convert them into multi-purpose dams so that we can deal with the current. On the issue of sanitation, the acquisition is very low to meet here because sanitation has a problem who is not here, but I will try because I do have a role to play on the bulk side of sanitation, especially wastewater treatment. We have indicated in our infrastructure plan that we have quite a number of wastewater treatment works. There are high compromise, as the honourable member indicated, and if you look at our big allocation, we have tried to assess the extent really to make sure that those that are compromised, we are dealing with them because we cannot continue with the current situation. But we then had to deal with the issue that we also have bucket adaptation, especially in Free State and in Northern Cape. And we then said, let's prioritize those that will have an impact in us not achieving our goal of eradicating the bucket system. It's a challenge because we have to deal with a need which is too high compared to the number of resources that we have. Unfortunately, you might as well are aware that almost the whole country, I always say home is on fire when it comes to wastewater treatment. Any time really you're going to hear that there is a crisis. But we'll try and we reflected with the activity last week. We're even thinking of, shouldn't we also not be looking at mechanical intervention? As part of innovation, there are other companies that are approaching us, not coming with a mechanical solution, but they are coming with a biological solution. To say, shouldn't we perhaps just to delay the crisis, shouldn't we be looking at addressing especially the over-compromised wastewater treatment, that shouldn't we be looking at perhaps adopting biological methods of dealing with waste? That again, the FCDG has that let's look at setting up a team. He's going to have a meeting in the next 2 weeks where he's trying to look at now other innovative methods of dealing with wastewater treatment. Because if you look at the situation right now, if we are going to be addressing it through mechanical means only, without looking at other innovations, I think we're not going to be able to benefit. But yeah, the activity has asked me to put up that team that's going to be looking at other innovative ways of dealing with wastewater treatment. And we're meeting in the next 2 weeks. So I think I've addressed
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
before I get to the issue of information systems and data, let me just address the issue of training. So the question as to what the previous commission was doing. I'm not going to address the commission as currently, let's discuss, we don't have what is called marketing. We do have, according to the National Water Act, the National Water Resource Strategy. At the moment, you are on the street. When we look at that document, there's a chapter on the page. It starts from, I think, 1860. You will find a table there. That table indicates where planning is going to be undertaken, when it will be finalized, and when water is expected to come out of there. Last year when I presented the process towards the development of the water and planning system of the land, I did put that slide here. You can share it with the community. But it's a little bit of what the conversation is. How do we arrive at such? Or what is the planning process? The pattern of what we call an old town study, which gave us preliminary indication of the situation in the country. After that, we did reconciliation strategy. Now, the reconciliation strategy gives you what we have, the projected demand, and therefore will indicate if there will be a deficit. Now, depending on what the deficit is, or the extent of the deficit, what intervention measures we could use. For example, we do water conservation and water management. In other instances, we shall relate to the operating rules of them. We could be looking at some restrictions. We could also be looking at the utilization of the local groundwater. Then from there, given the projection, the projected period by which perhaps the area will be in difficulty, that is then that the infrastructure thing comes into play. And that's when now we do move from the reconstruction, we move towards what we call the community study. Now during the community study, you look at where exactly could this additional infrastructure be. It is at the end of the 6 years of study that then, this RID, which is a recommendation of record of implementation decision, that will be signed by the executive. I think it comes to 10 years as well. Then there will be appended to infrastructure units of development. But there also is different decisions as to when that infrastructure will be completed. So it is not like it is just function in the there is something that I must and we have included in the master plan now sanitation. So we call it the National Water and Sanitation Master Plan. That's what we are doing. And we are hoping to be able to have a draft that we can present by next year. We were over optimistic in the beginning that we'll be able to do that by the end of the financial year. But when we started looking on it, we realized that the gap and the kind of work that comes to be done. About who has planning, who gets involved in planning, when we look at it, it's not something that is done in the national office. It is a process that entails communities, representatives, municipalities, and everybody that is in the area. It looks at, for example, the city being taken into consideration that the population is I'm moving on the issue of planning and getting to the issue of information and management.
Progress towards meeting the need and the community. The key message is that
sometimes with the cost cutting of in the project and the initiatives and yes, that's important. But ultimately this is about ensuring businesses growth, eradicating unemployment, dealing with poverty, and ensuring that inequality is something attended. And similarly to this, there is the attempt to reach through our policy and legislative framework to begin to address some of these issues where we see ourselves incentives where our people can feed them, but they cannot access or benefit from them. And that makes them not allowed to continue something they must never lose sight of. The fourth issue I'd like to raise, which may be responding to Honorable Chabuke and the point that he made earlier on about how we must not lose sight of how media will paraphrase incorrectly, but it's something along the lines of the fact that we put a concentric side of how data is an enabler in cross-cutting, etc., where if we do not handle the way that we should be, because it's a clear indication of what we could do for productive sector, just as an aspect, but also for what we are trying to do. So there are specific examples of where we are trying to attend to this, but that's what is fresh in my mind, or us as a department, is that for the 9.10, and this particular focus on productive sectors, oceans economy, and the whole range of other initiatives around unlocking some of the implementation challenges that the Chairperson has referred to. We see our contribution into the 9.10 as one of the ways in which there is recognition of how without water, really, it isn't life, and without sanitation, it isn't life. If there are plans in a particular area around mining, and we don't have a fully fledged story around how we manage water, then that will have implications and no consequences on agriculture, on development, and ultimately a whole range of other critical issues that are of concern to us. And then the last point that I would like to raise, but this is much as touched on this, which is a clear apology chair. With the IMC, I was referring to the Intermediate Serial Task Team on food delivery. And in the speech, primarily there were ministers, minister was in sanitation, cost and treasury, and the whole range of things that these are critical issues, such as a drought, but also there's been a willingness to explore how what on a good day the department we refer to as a bit of an unfunded mandate, and they were referring to OMM. I think Commissioner Petty made reference to the decaying infrastructure and the challenges in the regard in terms of concurrency or functioning, and who owns what. So ultimately, the one who owns must also be responsible for asking. In the minister's budget book, I believe much of me, she made specific proposals about what we could do in this regard, and I recall for sure that she had also intimated that over and above discussion with her fellow counterparts, would the department be taking a request for our board to perhaps come to the fore and begin to assist us in this regard. Maybe if I may stop the chairperson and thank you for the opportunity.
Still, the question remains about our ownership of the water resource in the country. The question has been asked at several times ago, but I thought it was a so-called fair to try to support the amount of aid for those previous questions. Maybe there are newer things. Maybe as you respond to the question,
thank you. On determination, I just want to, we have discussed this. I'm very much disappointed to hear today that you have imported plants to Richards Bay. I'm not sure whether those plants are coming from Iran or from where it comes from, because there was a twining agreement between the minister and us. I don't know why they don't use local companies that manufacture these plants. There's a company in Cape Town manufacturing these plants. To my surprise, and I'm not sure whether I have mentioned that previously, whilst the minister signs this agreement with Iran, because they are the leaders in desalination, they've got a South African company that is resolving their problems for them with desalination. Because I turned around to find out whether this company is manufacturing this and whether it was a thing that asked these questions. I still haven't got a reply. Written questions to the department, and we still don't have not received the replies on that. But we are, if the government is speaking to Iran about desalination, we are appointed by Iran to assist them to sort out their desalination. So we are not creating jobs in our own country. That's the first one. I'm just going to leave that there. That's something, and we have already asked, why don't we invite South African companies to come and show their technology in the country? Let's have a water show or whatever. Let's like we see in overseas. Let them come and show us. Then we know about it. Then the law is to them. In September last year, in a written reply after the minister made a media statement, and I agree with you 100%. You're on the second edition of the National Water Research Strategy, was published in 2013. The minister indicated that the water plan will be completed today, the 31st of August 2016. That was on the 4th of September last year. Now, that was the reply from the minister on a question, a written question, on the 4th of September. Now today, Cummins on the chair, you also asked the same question, an oral question to the minister, which you should have answered last week. I know, it's coming today. But, you know, is it ready? Is it going to be ready when? We know you've got the strategy plan that you're working on, but we still need that plan. And that's a huge problem for me. It's not we setting the dates. The minister set the date. It will be completed by the end of August 2016. That's the day. Maybe she will present it today. Maybe it will be a surprise to everybody of us. So, you know, I'm really concerned about that too.
Next Let us come back to you about this.
prepared for the commission. We now got this partnership with the Netherlands team. We are mindful of how much, what this means. We want to address the tax crisis we had for energy. We've already had it looked out. We are an interesting kind of scarcity, of limited knowledge around how to manage water, of restrictions, of a whole range of things, so something that's a basic necessity for our people. So we are willing to come here and engage in the strategy.
I would like to just add something that I thought a little of when I asked, because the cash and money agency that I sometimes serve in does their work on behalf of the department. When the structures do not comply, they actually need practice. And sometimes it scares them. I know it happens in commercial schools. They do report to the gentleman to the police, and sometimes when they do that, they actually need that. Sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't. We don't just do engagements because history has shown engagements and negotiations do not work. And on the issue of the development plan has got a chapter on building a capable and development of age. Unfortunately, I have to speak in the country, and that's my task in the country. We are aware of the shortcomings, and we are not in trouble to do our initiatives if we want to develop that as well. Over and above all that, we need to make civil servants, municipalities, local and national and provincial attractive for professionals, because young people and professionals don't see it as an attractive job. So we're working on that. The other thing is on relocation of people from where they vote, from this where they vote out to where they vote. Yes, we have to deal with that. I don't know how. But there is also a chapter on national social development and investment. Some of the commissioners are dealing with that, actually addressing the issues that sometimes we want to give our people, we want to give more, but it's impossible because of where they are taken. And with the wide commission, can I have had the religious background and traditional issues that some of our people have, it almost makes it impossible to move, to just move them, accessible to that we need to move. So as the planning commission, we are aware of the challenges, and there's a lot of companies that should be working on all these subjects. And that's what I wanted to add. And thank you.
Just to comment on what the colleague has said, there were specific questions that were asked, some of them, maybe the subject of looking at it differently. Perhaps it's important to, and I'm addressing the same issue but from a different perspective. There were questions by Member Chelsky that talked to the institution of higher education, which is a vital question itself. Perhaps it's important to look at the thing this way, that for the longest time, as a country, we never had the National Development Plan, which in a way suggests that we didn't have a strategy as a country. Yes, there were quite a number of other problems, but we never had one that is operating at that level, which meant if you look at the institutions of higher learning, institutions of higher learning is to also get direction in terms of what are they offering? Is it relevant now? If you have a country that doesn't have a plan to be, in the next 20 years, I need these kind of people, whether it's engineers, whether it's scientists, then a lot of us, I mean, I can look at myself, I had to decide what I want to do at school. I was not informed by saying, I know in the next 5 years, the country will need these kind of skills, thereby even the issues of unemployment, we talk about unemployed graduates, but are they, do they study the relevant courses that I'll talk to, when we say the country needs to go, or where we found one thing in terms of the skill set, I don't think there's alignment there. And even now, there's still that issue where my view is the institutions of higher learning still decide on what they want to do. It's their right, but I think if there's a strong direction for the executive in terms of saying, as a country, these are the areas and these are the kind of skill sets, because our plan is to move from here to there, it does bring that alignment. And I think the different conversations that need to be had, and I think it's important also from Parliament to actually start looking at it that way. Some of the things, maybe it's just how one thinks. An example in terms of where the the NCC came for that and called it in food. The commission came to us. The fee is not for but we still in that space. But what happened is the role that was played by the commission in terms of ensuring that the issue was amended, like the every point of view finding the money that was required to actually balance the thing out. But for me, that is something that is independent. It also gives an opportunity for the commission to engage with the leadership of all the institutions of higher education to try and make sure that this alignment that I'm talking about is actually realized. Because in most cases, when we talk about unemployed graduates, but some of us have gone and done the neck and the, say we are unemployed graduates, but if there's a technical requirement, I can't do anything different what I'm studying. But it's important to start weaving this thing together, but we now need to say this is the direction and line of march, and this is what the country is saying, which makes we should inform some of the offerings, and even looking at whether I'm offering the right thing at that level or not. Because we can't be talking about skills, but we really are not directing people. Even the commission of residents, it needs to inform where we want people to go and what they need to study. And I'm just saying it there, Chair, just in a bigger scheme of things to say we need to look at it. And this touches on the issue that my colleague has talked about, the capacity of state to deliver. There's the problem with the operating model as well. Mm-hmm. Is what we have as an operating model the right model? Have we really looked and did an introspection to try and find that out? And I mean, if you take those particular issues, and I mean, there would be a whole lot of other views on the matter, but we need to have those kind of discussions to actually try and map our way in terms of what we work for the country. We know where the gaps are, but are we spending the money on the right things as well? Not that others are not fine, but maybe there has to be more emphasis in terms of particular chapters. Madam Guni, you talked about golf courses and lots of water. I would say one of the things that we're doing is, as we identify this, we try and actually go and stick and look at different areas where they have similar problems and all this. But Cape Town is a very good example in terms of their bylaws for golf courses. They are not allowed to use fresh water. So there's a booming business in terms of people moving grey water to areas where they have golf courses. But it's something that is being done from one angle, and I think it's important to start looking at those kind of levels, and those that are sitting looking at legislation or even policies need to start looking at that. So there are pockets where you can actually look at things that can work. The issue of the region that was addressed, Kenya had that problem. I have not been able to, because I wanted to really check what they are doing, but I look at the problem. They had a big problem where most of shifting had happened to the extent that they could not even get anything out of their rivers. But it's part of some of the things that I would have to discuss with the department differently in terms of how to deal with those types of issues. Yeah, I think as we do, I think as the NTC appreciate the platform, and I think it's been a very good session for us in terms of getting critique on what we put together and just to ensure that we are on the right track as well, because it's important for us to work together, because every water is everybody's business. Thank you.
Maybe instead of having to generalize and complain on the golf course issues, maybe it would put them on the personal side. If we can come back from the case study of a golf course in Jeffrey, Spain, the municipalities and they do run their own allow them, so they say, what an independent sphere. The golf course in Jervis Bay, where it be, continue to pay 10 rand per annum in maintaining the grid. Maybe in 2 weeks' time, the department will fix those courses. We can come back to us in the next 2 weeks. And of course, I've also been made aware by my colleague, but, as you drive through towards Kimoton, there's a farm that uses water for free. I'm aware that everyone of us can come up with his or his or her own experience about to help us with using the water for free. We have all these cases that we make reference to. So that we are
know in India, annually, they produce 1 million high chiefs before government directed. Now, one of the questions I would have asked to the Minister of Higher Education along those lines, whether the country we can be able to say to our colleagues, given the vision that we have, do we have a recruitment that shall be able to make achieve this vision, to a point where the direct questions have been posed by the government to the specific colleges across the country, indicating to them that we have this vision, we need this equipment to college A, B, C, D, and so on, so that they are directed. We require certain family of engineering skills. So that because they get all these subsidies from government, they get all these subsidies from government. But for them to be able to say, which is what the minister was saying, no, you see, these colleges will tell you that they are independent, they are autonomous, and so on. For them to be free to do whatever they want to do, not sure what that means. If you have the cash that you are preparing, equally you should have a responsibility of engaging those questions and directing them. Otherwise, the pace in which we are moving, we will literally be keeping the whole vision alive. If we get the full liberal in the extent in which we are now, we shall have to kiss the whole vision goodbye. It shall remain part of the history that we attempted at this. I think those would be the few last comments, except for Mr. Charlie. You know, he likes appreciating you can hear in his past. I saw him in action, with the excellent CFO, and how he was appreciating.
Thank you.